are you looking for? You see, that first Easter experience is somewhat lackluster, especially in the lives of the first responders. You see, the story involves three persons who were followers of Jesus. They had been following Him for some time, and here Mary Magdalene, Peter, and the beloved disciple are the first ones to the tomb that Easter morning, that first resurrection morning. John doesn't tell us why Mary comes. Maybe she's there to grieve. Maybe she comes to remember and give thanks for the life of this Savior who had changed her life forever. Maybe Mary comes because she needs some time alone to think, to sort out what the past few days, all these events have meant and what they mean to her. And John doesn't tell us in his gospel. As Mary arrives, she sees that the stone has been rolled back from the entrance of the tomb. Immediately she leaves without further investigation. Mary runs and she tells Peter, the beloved disciple, and the beloved disciple, who we assume is John. Everybody assumes that the beloved disciple is John. And once they know, they too come running back to the tomb. Peter and John, and they get there first. Peter looks in and he sees the place where Jesus has been, and nothing is there. The beloved disciple looks in at the same scene, and the Scripture tells us that he believes. Then they go home. They leave. Mary is now encouraged by her boldness of the other two, wants to take a look for herself because she didn't look in yet. She too sees the place, only now there are two angels there, one sitting at the head and one sitting at the foot of where Jesus' body had been laying earlier. And the angel asks one of them, "Who are you looking for?" Who are you looking for? Now Mary begs him to tell her where they have taken Jesus' body. And as she turns around, she sees Jesus, but she does not recognize who he is. She supposes him that day to be the gardener, and she asks if he knows where they have taken that body. And if he will but tell her, she will go and get the body. And Jesus then says to her, he calls out her name. He says, "Mary." He calls her. He says, "Mary." And immediately, guess what? She recognizes who he is. Just then, Jesus instructs her. He says, "Don't touch me. And go tell his followers." And that's exactly what she does. What a strange and mysterious story that we have here today. The greatest event in human history is dramatically unfolding. Right here, it's just unfolding. For the first time, the first three eyewitnesses have very strange and mixed responses at best. They all three have been there, they all three have seen, and they all deal with it differently. Mary reduces it to grave robbing. The beloved disciple sees and believes, and Peter sees and says nothing and does nothing. After witnessing the empty tomb, Peter and John go home. They just go home. Where's all the hype? Where's the celebration? Where's the reality of the fact that Jesus has predicted happened? Everything he's predicted, everything he's been telling them, everything that has been going on for the past 3 years that he has been preaching and teaching them has happened. But there's no party, no ticker tape parade, no news coverage, nothing. Is it this just like God? It seems God has God's way of working in human history. You see, this story sounds very familiar. Just some several years before, it was in the evening that the Son of God was born into a world in a stable. A few folks showed up, but it was light. Not many people were there for the magnitude of the event that had happened. There was not much response from the world around them, really. Again, you see, God does what God does in time and way, in His way. He does what He deems necessary for the event that is happening. You see, the message maybe be for us today on this Easter Sunday is for us to allow God to do and be what God is, to do what God does, and in time God deems necessary for our lives. Maybe that's the real power of this story today. God acting in history to change the shape and movement of the world. And people just responding in such different ways, trying to grasp all that God is doing. The older I get, the more comfortable I become with allowing God to be God. I say now more than I have ever would admit when I was younger that I just don't always know. I'm coming to realize that maybe knowing isn't what this faith business is all about in the first place. Maybe what this is really about is what God is doing and the power of my just trusting it and giving it the freedom to do what it needs to do in my life and to lead where it needs to lead. Many, many years ago, I was a lot younger than I am now, I went white water rafting in the mountains of North Carolina with a bunch of crazy people that I went to seminary with. Before we climbed into that rubber boat raft thing, they called it, the guide gave us some instructions about what to do if we found ourselves in the water. Well, that was not encouraging to begin with. He told us to keep our feet up, trusting in the buoyancy of that life vest that we had on. I thought I needed a much bigger one, probably one everywhere else, but anyway. And to enjoy the ride. Well, now that didn't appeal to me either. And I thought, what have I got myself into? But anyway, it was something that I had signed up for, and I was there with all these people. I had the helmet on, I had the vest on, and it was time to go. But you see, the movement of God in the world seems to be just like that. We've got to be ready. We've got to just put our feet up and trust that life vest that's there with us and enjoy the ride. You see, we've got to trust God a little more. God is moving and working at God's pace, in God's time, and in God's direction. Maybe our response needs to be to keep our heads up, trust what God is doing, and just enjoy the ride. You see, John saw and John believed. Peter looked in and nothing. This is Peter, the big mouth that we talked about on Thursday night, on Monday, Thursday, the one that said, "Oh Lord, I will never, ever deny you." And when the cock crowed, he had already denied him 3 times. The one who is always about just telling what he's going to do for Jesus. Peter looked in and nothing in John's gospel. Mary recognized Jesus only after he spoke her name. You see, God loves no matter what our response is, though. No matter if you're as bold as Peter was and then you have no response. No matter if you loved like John loved and believed, finally. And maybe if you're like Mary Magdalene, who comes and who wonders what's going on and doesn't recognize until she hears that voice. No matter what it is, you see, that is the good news in this story today, that God brings resurrection because of who God is. The reality of the empty tomb reminds us that God is at work in the world, doing what only God can do. In all humility, without much fanfare, and certainly not dependent on the response of people, God goes about God's business. Our lives and the life of the world will never be the same again. Mary came looking for the Jesus who had died. Peter and John came looking in response to news of a possible grave robbing of Jesus' body. Why have we, you and I, come today? As we enter this sacred place, who is it that we have come looking for today? Let us pray. Great.